I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, the business of family business, presented by CMA Consulting on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Chad Hansen of Hansen's Tree Service joining us on the Business of Family Business. It is so great to meet you in person.
Yeah, great to meet you. Thanks for having me in today.
Well, I have to thank Dan Bean of CMA for doing all this. Dan, thank you for choosing yet another incredible family business to talk about.
It's my pleasure.
So let's start, Chad, with the company was founded 33 years ago, right, by your dad?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, late 80s. I guess was the official kickoff, I think 89, I believe.
And you know his story.
I do.
Of why he decided to create the business. Tell us that.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't intentional right out of the start. He was working in multiple businesses at the time. He was primarily a trash truck driver and working double shifts so my mother could stay at home and raise my sister and me at the time, and was doing tree care on the side just to make ends meet. And one night fell asleep while driving his trash truck and flipped his trash truck. And next day he was unemployed.
So, that'll do it.
Yeah. That kind of a change of circumstance very quickly. Very quickly, you know, picked up the chainsaw and decided, hey, I'm just going to do this till I find my next gig. And I guess realized he was pretty darn good at it.
Mm.
And people liked him, and there became the new business.
Did your mom tell you what she was thinking, A, when the trash truck flipped out of work and decides to shift? Do you know what she was thinking at that time?
You know, I don't. I don't know that I've ever asked that question. That might be a fun conversation.
I think it will be.
Knowing her and knowing my dad, they were on two opposite ends of the personality spectrum. So she's very much reserved, and he was very aggressive and 100 miles an hour all the time. So I'm sure she was just wondering what, you know, she was going to be along for the ride next with. So
what were your earliest memories of your dad telling you about being in business? Did he have conversations about, son, this is what it takes, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing?
You know, it was a lot of it was I just wanted to be like dad. So I was with him, you know, from a very young age, and he it was very neat because he would take me everywhere.
Wow.
I mean, it was not a you know, some people are a little more reserved where it's like, hey, you don't bring a child into this setting. You don't. Yeah, you know, I was 4 or 5 years old, and I was walking into business meetings, going into bank meetings, finance meetings. I mean, everything that he would be doing, he would have no problem dragging me along with him. And some people you could tell is a little out of the norm, but I loved it. And, you know, he showed me everything from an early age.
Dan, I have so many questions from CMA standpoint. but when you hear Chad say that at 4 and 5 he was going into finance meetings, I'm thinking that's rare, but maybe it's not.
It's pretty rare. I have heard it before, and it's a great experience for kids, and a family business owner can do that. A lot of executives don't have that latitude, but mm-hmm. a family business owner does have that latitude oftentimes, and it's great when it does happen. It's take your child to work every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they aren't going into the finance meeting or into contract talks, you know, the business owner's coming home.
Yes.
And the children get to experience that part of it as well.
They hear a lot of messages around the dinner table every night. And so if they get to do another something with the parents that balance those messages, because sometimes those messages are complaints of the day. So getting a well-rounded picture of the business is very important for younger children.
Chad, you aren't aware of this, but my husband is a landscaper, and okay. my kids can attest to hearing the complaints.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, collecting, clients changing their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that they hear that for sure. Chad, talk to us about how the business evolved, because it really did. It changed.
Yeah. Over the years, we've evolved quite a bit. We started out, obviously, in tree care, and then very quickly branched out into lawn and landscape. Did that for probably 10 plus years or so, kind of throwing what I would say a wide net, doing a lot of things within the industry. But then we got into producing landscape products in the early 2000s, mulches, compost, engineered soils, things of that nature, and kind of realized that we weren't very good at actually doing landscaping. So tried to get a little more narrowly focused. And decided to get out of that world as far as the installation and really pursue the manufacturing of the landscape products. So another thing we realized also was it's hard to sell landscape products to the people you compete against. Mm. Nobody wants to buy from their competitor. So we figured we'd be a little more advantageous for us to pursue the products manufacturing than the actual install. So we got out of that and kept on with the tree care and the lawn care, as well as the manufacturing of the products. And in about 2015, we decided to get out of the lawn care business, so get a little more narrowly focused, even still. So now we primarily are in the recycling business, as we call it now. So the taking scrap green waste and turning it into a useful product like a mulch or a compost or engineered soil, things of that nature. So.
Dan, CMA does such great work with its clients, the business owners, companies. You help them increase their presence in the marketplace. You help them to increase sales. Organizational change is something that you work with your clients on as well. Talk about the timing and the wisdom of Hansen's leaving lawn care from a business perspective.
Yeah, so strategic focus tends to serve a business well. When a business starts and in the early years, it tends to experiment and try a lot of different things. And it takes a few years, generally at least five. It may take longer to understand the fit with the marketplace. But as they grow, that strategic focus serves them well. They get really good at it. They get better than the competitors. And that's what lets a company grow and blossom. And so the fact that they trim services over the years to find their sweet spot, it's actually very good news.
Is there a fear factor, Dan, for businesses who, however they start, it's got to be challenging to think, I'm going to shift? And Chad, you're shaking your head. Before you answer that, Dan, Chad, why are you shaking your head?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing it right now. We're doing it again. We're evolving and changing again. And I will tell you, it's hard to distinguish sometimes between net revenue and net profit.
Mm.
Too many people chase net revenue, and really all that matters at the end of the day is what you bring home. So we're currently evolving. We're closing a site here in St. Louis, and we're focusing more efforts on another site. And we're going to be losing $1 million+ in revenue from this one site. And it sounds scary to me right out.
Scary to me.
Just rolling,
Chad,
off the tongue. It's like, well, that's a lot of money just to be like, well, see you later. But we're focusing our efforts now into other sites and resources. And, we've done the pro formas and it will work out. It's just, like you said, it can be scary going from something that's known and it's a known revenue source to the unknown of new changes. And, but these new changes, I think, ultimately are going to lead to more profitability.
He said that very well. It's very hard to let go of a revenue stream, but sometimes you can let go of a small one and grab a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a change that a CEO has to make, and it takes it is a risk, and it takes some self-confidence and belief in the organization to make that. And it may not be the right one. Nobody bats 1,000, mm-hmm. but you got to make it, and you got to try it.
I'm curious if, Dan, companies come to you to say, we are thinking of making this shift, and do you hold their hand and help them through that process? Or do you go to companies and say, we think you should move away from lawn care and focus on green, how did you describe it?
Green resource recycling.
Green recycling.
So we do strategic planning with companies, and that's where the idea of shifting from one line of business to another or adding a new line of business, a new office, comes into play. And we also do organizational change. So if the client has already decided to do something, we can help them implement that change.
I love it. Can you do that in my personal life too?
Carol, I've listened to you for a lot of years. I'm not sure.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about the year 2015 for Hanson's Tree Service. It was a crucial year. More on the business of family business next on KMOX. We continue our conversation on the business of family business with Chad Hanson of Hanson's Tree Service. And 2015, not that long ago at all, it was such a crucial year for you as a man, as a son, and as a business owner. The business changed. It was the year you lost your father. Can you tell us that story and really how it changed not only your personal life, clearly it did, but your career path as well?
Yeah, so, you know, Dad had always been the leader, you know, the key guy, the head honcho, whatever you want to call him. And up to that point, I was fine just being an operations guy. You know, I enjoyed getting my hands dirty. I enjoyed being in the field, and that's kind of my path. And we'd always talked about, you know, years down the line, eventually me taking over, and that was kind of the plan. But, you know, 2015 was not the year that we intended for that to happen. You know, I was planning on being in my late 40s, early 50s by the time that would occur. So, you know, I had the mindset of just learning as much as I could in operations. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed tree climbing. I liked being the guy high in the tree up on a rope, and that was fun to me. Yeah, 2015 rolled around, and my dad was, we had another satellite operation down in Branson, Missouri, and my dad had a small single-engine plane that he would fly back and forth between our Branson location and our St. Louis location. And one Sunday morning, he was on his way back, as he had done hundreds of times before, and got caught up in some weather and got a real nasty thermal updraft, and it ripped the wing off the plane. Mm-hmm. And down he went. And I'll never forget that day and those phone calls and just the, you know, I was supposed to pick him up at the airport and you know, the plane never arrived. And then it dawned on me a couple hours after the fact that I kind of realized what had actually happened. And we were driving down to Cuba near Sullivan where the plane went down. And I'm like, wow, I have a company to run tomorrow. Mm. This was a Sunday afternoon. And you know, I'm just thinking in my head that immediately that you know, the burden shifted from, I heard my dad talk about it a numerous amount of times, you know, we have, you know, 100 families to feed every week, you know.
He was very clear about that.
That rely on us, you know. And now that thought kind of entered my head. At the time, I did not really understand the gravity of it. I just knew, hey, we have to be operational tomorrow. We have to feed families. We have to get work done. So, you know, overnight I went from a guy out in the field climbing trees to now I'm running a company.
How old were you?
I was 27.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty young.
I have a 26-year-old. I cannot imagine him stepping in to become CEO. So just like that and out of tragedy.
Yeah. You know, looking back, I thought I was, when it happened, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh man, you know, can I handle this? I'm like, yeah, I can handle this. I can handle this. I can do this. I was about as prepared as you can be, I guess, but a lot of lessons learned very early on. A lot of mistakes, you know, a lot of things I wish I could have done differently. But one thing my dad did very well is he had me connected, like I said, from a young age with a lot of people. And I remember he used to drag me out of the field and be like, hey, you need to go do lunch with these guys. You need to meet these guys.
Really?
And I'd be like, Dad, just leave me alone. Let me go to work. Like, I don't, you know. I always had the son of the boss stigma, you know. Everyone thought I got preferential treatment because, oh, why does he get to be pulled out of the field on a 95-degree hot day, go eat lunch in the air conditioning with the guys, you know, and everyone else has to stay out there working. So I was always out there trying to prove to everyone I can hang with everyone else. And, you know, so when he'd pull me in, I didn't like it, but looking back now, it's like all those lunch meetings and all those, you know, separate visits that I did with people, those are the people that I now rely on to do business, you know, and I already had those relationships kind of pre-established before I stepped into that role, which has been just pivotal, you know, to me moving forward.
You are your own man,
mm-hmm.
but you are your father's son.
Yep.
What kind of man was he? And I'm sure that you carry all of that with you. DNA is what it is.
No, he was great. I mean, everyone, he was a ball of energy. He said what was on his mind, whether you liked it or not. Some people didn't like it. He was a little much for some people. I don't know. As far as a dad, I couldn't ask for anyone better. There are times where I thought he was hard on me, but it's like, looking back now, that discipline that he, you know, kind of put on me and instilled in me, it was good, is what I needed. You know, he was a father. He was, I would say he wasn't my friend. He was my father first, and then he was my friend,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've seen some of the consequences of the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I could always rely on my dad to be my dad. And he balanced it very well. Even with the business. I mean, I remember he would work 60, 70 hours a week, pretty much every week from time I could remember, but he never missed a ball game. He never missed a big event. He took me on vacations, me and my sister and my mom. He always made time to make us feel important and spend that quality time while also juggling, you know, a big business that consumed a lot of his time.
Do you remember ever thinking that you understood the sacrifice then, as he is working 70 hours a week and still showing up to every game?
No, I did not comprehend it. I didn't. I just thought that's what he did. You know, that was just...
That's who he was.
That's who he was. Yeah. You know, now that I'm in that role and I'm have a young child of my own now and wife and family, it's like, wow. You know, he was... he juggled a lot. A lot, you know, and from a position of starting a business too, where, you know, I kind of came in, obviously it was well established. So I didn't go through some of the growing pains that he did. But the time sacrifice and how he juggled it all, I mean, I struggle now, you know, and it's, I'd say, like I said, it's a little more established now than it was 30 years ago. So I don't know how he did it. I really don't.
You're not the first person to say, I've said it, I don't know how my mother raised five kids. I don't know how they did it. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of us say that, Chad. Do you remember feeling at all that I'm going to run this company the way my dad did, or I need to run it the way I need to run it?
Yeah, I'd say just recently, I guess branching out from the needing to run it the way my dad did to run it how I need to run it. My dad did a lot of things very well, and had a lot of great ideas, and I have, you know, some different ideas and some good ideas, and it's taken me a while to let some things go that I kind of feel like were almost family legacy, you know, with like I said earlier, closing that site down. That was a hard decision for me. That was something my dad started, something my dad created, and accepting the fact that I almost feel like I failed, and because I couldn't keep that site or make that site as profitable as it needed to be. That was kind of a tough pill to swallow. But ultimately, you know, there's just not everything works sometimes. And if you keep trying to make something work that doesn't, you're going to fail and you're going to bring everything else down with it. So coming to that realization was difficult for me, but I think it's the right move. And you know, I think we're going to continue to make decisions like that based off of just what other smart people in my circle now tell me to look at. You know, I have some smart people advising me, and it's good to have those other voices, I guess, enter the equation, because sometimes I run circles in my own brain. So
I have to say that I think that it's bold to even say that you felt like you failed. It's because people would internalize that. And, yeah. And you are a CEO of a well-known business, and there are some things that some business owners do not want to say publicly because they may think it seems like weakness.
Right.
And it is not that at all in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely don't say I enjoy saying it. it's just one of those things where, you know, you just have to accept it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the only way to move on and grow is to not only acknowledge the failure, but accept it and then figure out how to conquer and move on from there. So it's kind of the position I'm at right now is figuring out, you know, how to move forward, how to progress, how to really take our other divisions that are excelling and push them to the next level. So
we're going to take a break and come back and bring in Dan from CMA Consulting again, because what you've described for us, Chad, is it was succession planning. Your dad was talking about you taking over. It happened so suddenly and so tragically. So I do want to know from your perspective, Dan, after we come back from the break, how does CMA help companies in this regard with generational transitions? And maybe what if Chad didn't want to do it? You know, there are kids who don't want to take over the family business. I know you work with all these scenarios, Dan, so we'll talk about that and more coming up on The Business of Family Business. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. And I wanted to bring you in now, Dan, because at the break, Chad was talking about losing his father and becoming CEO. It is a sudden and tragic shift, and all that he thought in going into that new phase of his career at 27 years of age. Experiencing the death of a father and then becoming CEO, it doesn't sound like it's typical. Maybe it's more common than we realize. But talk to us from CMA standpoint. How much work does CMA do around succession planning and generational transitions? And family members may not always want to step into that gap, right?
So I've worked with well over 150 family businesses, and almost all of it involves the generational transition. Every CEO needs two things. They need an emergency successor if something unforeseen happens, and it's not our plan, but somebody's going to come to my office tomorrow and take over. And that may be temporary or that may be long-term. They also need a planned successor at their planned retirement. Well, Chad was Jeff's planned successor at retirement, but the timeline got moved up 15 mm-hmm. or 20 years. And it does happen. I mean, these tragedies do happen, and the business has to continue. And so Jeff and Chad get a tip of the hat for making this work. This is not a good situation. Age 27 is very young to be sitting at the table, sit at the desk of a CEO. And I don't care if Chad had worked there 20 years before he became CEO. When he became CEO, he likely would have felt like it took me 6 to 12 months to get my sea legs, because that's what almost every new CEO feels. I thought I knew this business, but it's different when I sit at this desk, because that's where the buck stops. And it is different.
And that is different whether it's the result of succession planning or not. Becoming a CEO takes 6 months to get your sea legs.
It does take a while, yes.
And then what if Chad had said, not me, I can't do this, I won't do this? And because every son and daughter or cousin or, you know, sister-in-law doesn't want to step into those shoes.
So in that case, I'm assuming the family owns the business. If Chad doesn't want to be the CEO, and so I'll generalize this because this is hypothetical.
Sure.
It's not what happened. But then the family has to figure out what to do with the business. And they either hire another family member as CEO or hire a non-family as CEO. Maybe it's a seasoned executive, or they sell the business. Those are about the broad options that are left.
Does succession planning take into account what employees, because you've got longtime employees, Chad, am I right?
Oh, yeah, correct. Yeah, well over 20 years, several.
It has to take into account employees who have been there a long time and they see a change at the top.
So the key executives at the top need to know who the emergency successor is, and hopefully the CEO has some written instructions about what to do or what to say. That's not often the case. But when there's an emergency successor, having just a little bit of information and a couple of other people beside the CEO and the emergency successor that know what's going to happen is very helpful.
Is this a conversation that you have to gently, forcibly get companies to have?
These are difficult conversations at times, and so people generally need a nudge to have them, yes. Sometimes we write some talking points, which now they have to go do it, and it makes it a little easier.
So you write the talking points for them to have with
whatever we need to do to support an executive that needs to get something done, that's what we try to do.
I have so many things going through my head right now because you too, Chad, because I'm wondering if a CEO is saying, I can't go to my board and tell them that I'm thinking of succession planning. They'll think I'm thinking of leaving.
Well, usually a board, that's one of the key responsibilities of a board is to ensure there is a successor.
Right.
So they will start that generally several years.
Right.
They will want a stake in the ground, a date, and then they start to plan for that. So boards, particularly of bigger companies, they do push that issue. That is a key board responsibility.
Well, this is the business of family business, and I would imagine the business of family business is a little different.
So generally, it's the current owner, the current CEO, that has to push that envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and Chad is fortunate that his father did that
with
him.
He's
fortunate
right.
that he took Chad to all those meetings. I mean, Chad said that, so I agree with that.
And Chad, what helped you to? And I imagine that some of that you've already talked about, that your father taking you at 4 and 5 mm-hmm. and making you go out into the field. Or leave the field and come into the air-conditioned meetings with some of the guys. What helped you to adapt in your mind to that sudden tragic change?
Well, a lot of it was kind of already planned out through succession planning. I mean, it was we had our business established in a way that if something were to ever happen, it was already kind of drawn out. There's a map. And I remember when we started doing that when my dad was still alive, you know, everyone thinks this will never happen to me. Why are we doing this? It's a waste of time, waste of money. I remember being a part of those conversations, and I couldn't wait to get out of that room fast enough.
Mm.
I mean, I was just trying to get out the door and get back to work. And I remember setting that stuff up and, you know, fast forward a couple years, and then this happens. You know, my dad dies, and come Monday morning, I'm the CEO, and I remember – that day, luckily, the trustee, he hit the ground running, and we had our board that was in my office that next day. I had 6 guys that were very well-seasoned executives, no business like the back of their hand, no my business, no people in the area, and they were in my office that next morning, kind of picking me up and pointing me down a path because I had no clue what I was doing.
You were in shock too.
Yeah, I was in shock and I didn't know the first step. What do you do as CEO? What does that look like? You know, so they were there and a lot of that was because of the planning. You know, we had a trustee in place that was willing to take the ball as soon as it dropped. And, you know, that it was pivotal for me.
Your dad clearly had a good executive team in place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He also had some sayings that I love some of these that I've heard before.
Yeah.
Tell me the one that I've – you know what I want to hear, Chad.
Oh, yeah. The thing he was, I guess, notorious for saying was, I wish I made as much as people think I do, and I wish I did as little work as people think I do.
Mm.
You know, it's like when you're a business owner, everyone thinks that, you know, money's just flying out of your pockets and, you know, you wallpaper with it. And, you know, you also don't do any of the work. But, you know, I wouldn't say that's all true. So there's a lot of work that happens. You know, my phone rings till 10 o'clock at night almost every night, you know, 3 a.m. in the morning. I mean, it's, you know, my dad's was the same way. And the work never really stops. There's always plenty of work to do, and you know, I don't think the money always translates with the time.
Dan, he describes the next day, the executive team comes in. Is that you want that to be the case?
Yes, it's very important to have a great executive team and having them loyal to the company. And anytime there's a tragedy, the employees of a company generally will rally. And they will figure out what needs to be done, and they're going to be there to support and step up and go the extra effort and make sure the company continues. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is where they work. That's where they make their livelihood. They have a vested interest, and so everybody rallies anytime there's an external threat or a tragedy that's basically internal, as it was in this case.
Let's take a break and come back and talk about Hanson's Tree Service, shall we? Who the customers are and those who are listening to this. We just went through flash flooding. People need you. They definitely need Hanson's Tree Service. So we're going to take a break and come back and talk more about the company itself. It's the Business of Family Business with you on KMOX. We're back with the Business of Family Business, wrapping up our conversation with Chad Hanson of Hanson's Tree Service and Dan Bean of CMA Consulting. Thank you so much again for joining us on KMOX.
No, thanks for having me.
It's such a great conversation. My husband and I are small business owners, and they are the lifeblood of this nation. That's why this series is so important on KMOX, the Business of Family Business. Before we talk about what Hanson's Tree Service does and who your customers are, who your clients are, talk to us about who owns the business now and the role that your mom and your sister play.
Yeah, so our business is owned by a trust, with my mother being the primary beneficiary. And the way it's structured is, you know, once she passes, you know, that will be basically split between my sister and I, 50-50. So the assets within the businesses, that'll all be kind of passed down to us at a 50-50 ratio. And, you know, then her and I get to decide, I guess, how we want to proceed from there.
And your mom and sister do not work currently with Hanson's Tree Service, correct?
That's correct. I mean, they provide an advisory role, and they do some, you know, some smaller roles, marketing stuff, but not on a full-time daily basis. My brother-in-law, Mike Walker, he runs our Branson Springfield divisions, does a great job down there. My sister has her hands in a lot of other businesses in that area that she's involved with, but she's kind of our marketing guru for that area, so she'll chime in quite often and help us out. I wish she'd work for us, but apparently I can't pay her enough. So,
well,
yeah,
good for her.
I know, right? I know. I'd love to have her involved because she's great at what she does. But like I said, she's got her hands in a lot of other ventures.
Can we shout out to your mom and your sister by name?
Yeah, yeah. So Shelly Hanson, Sierra Hanson, and also shout out to my wife Emma Hanson. So. She puts up with my crazy schedule, and I don't think enough emphasis is put on that. You know, the spouses of business owners too. I mean, that's a tough role to be in. You know, they have to handle and juggle the long hours and the crazy schedules and often moody spouse that comes home after a fun day of work.
You're saying fun.
Yeah. But that's a tough role to be in. So yeah, I mean, shout out to all of them. So.
Well, to Emma, I would say when my husband started landscaping 15 years ago, I was the unpaid CPA for far too long.
Right? Yeah.
Dan, is this the typical, maybe people don't have their business in a trust? Is it typical for the second generation? Or do a lot of your clients do that in the first place?
So this depends on how well they do estate planning. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Jeff paid attention to that, and he had a very good plan, and he ran a good business because it succeeded so well. So this hats off to him for having everything lined up and having thought it through. A trust does help. There's usually tax advantages to that, and it can prevent some squabbles at the next generation.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the business itself and who your clients are, who your customers are right now, Chad.
Yeah, so in our tree care division, we service both residential and commercial clients. So that ranges anything from, you know, a homeowner in the metro area to, really any business, universities, campuses, big, you know, office complexes, things of that nature. So we're there for really any tree care need, you know, from pruning to removal, stump grinding to plant health care. That's kind of been our new, push lately is we want to help people preserve their assets, and we consider trees to be their assets, to provide value. You know, more than just aesthetic. So, you know, we want to help them keep them alive, prevent pests, prevent disease, and also prevent risk. So
you talked about closing down a location, mm-hmm. $1 million gone. What are your other future plans for Hanson's Tree Service?
Yeah, so we have a couple other business lines like I spoke about earlier, our green waste recycling. So, anything from municipalities bringing, wood waste and yard waste to us, your curbside pickup, you put out your grass clippings in a recycle paper bag. A lot of that will end up with us, and we'll turn that into a reusable compost or something like that. So that's what our site that we closed, we did that there. We still do that at some of our other sites, several other sites, actually. We make, a reusable product out of it.
Dan, this is clearly a great success story. Jeff did so many things right, talking to his son, exposing his son, even after working 67 hours a week, being there as a father. Succession planning was a conversation because of all the things he did. Chad was able to walk into it, even though that wasn't the plan, at that time. So this is a great success story. Do you have any other thoughts to share to people who are listening now, especially?
So this is one of the worst situations for a family business to be in, where there's an unexpected tragedy happens when the people are way too young. Fortunately, there was a lot of good people involved. There was a plan, and Jeff put that plan together. Chad had a lot of good experiences. He had good employees, good executives, good board members, good advisors, and they were able to endure this tragedy and survive and prosper.
Have you ever worked with clients who the child wasn't even working for the business currently and was then brought in to be CEO? I imagine that happens.
It does happen. I had one client who was in finals week of last year of college when his father passed. He got his degree without taking his finals. And the first day on the job, he was CEO, and he didn't know what to do, so he pulled weeds in the parking lot.
Oh, my. Oh, my gosh. Are you still in touch with him?
That business has done well. He also had a good team, and they basically helped him be the CEO, but they kept the business running until he learned to be the CEO.
That's an incredible story as well. Chad, there's a part of your story, though, before we go, that I'm sure people who are close to you and love you know about, that your goal was not to be CEO of Hanson Tree Service. Your goal, I don't know if it was to be a St. Louis Cardinal.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to play baseball. That was, like most young kids, you grow up playing a sport, you fall in love with it, and you're going to be the next professional athlete. So I chased that as long as I could. I was, I played, through high school and into college, and was hoping to play some professional ball, and had some opportunity to try out, and decided that I was going to be an intelligent young person at 21 years old and go ride motorcycles the week before I was supposed to go to a tryout.
No.
And, I got in a bad crash and broke my shoulder and my back, and that ended the baseball career.
So, wow.
Now I'm the tree guy.
In 2022, I want to reach across this console and pop you on the head.
Right?
What were you
somebody
thinking?
Somebody needs to, right? I know. Yeah, I think my dad said the same exact thing. So, it wasn't the smartest move I've ever made, but things, I guess, have worked out. So.
Well, God has a way, because we don't know how much more difficult it would have been with your father passing so tragically and you needing to step in as CEO. I'm a believer that there was a plan in place, and you are living it. Thank you so much. What an amazing story, even with tragedy at the core of it. So many people have used Hanson's Tree Service. It is a generational business, but I know you have generational clients, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, people have been with us for decades. So it's been it's fun serving those clients, especially when I get to hear the stories. I remember when your dad first started out.
Wow.
He'd come out just one guy in a truck.
Thank you so much, Chad. How do people find Hanson's Tree Service?
So you can check us out online at hansonstree.com, or feel free to give us a call anytime at 636-379-1830.
Dan is here. You're a client. You've used Hanson's.
I've used them, yes. I've used them three times. They've done very good work for me. The only way to tell they've been there is to see that there's some tree branches gone.
And for those business owners who want to take advantage of what CMA has to offer and the wisdom you've shared here today, how do they find you, Dan?
Well, at cmaconsult.com, is the best way to find us. And I'm happy to meet with anybody on a complimentary basis if they want to talk about their family business.
Fantastic. We will have another conversation with a generational business here on KMOX. It's the business of family business.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.